We're back with more Night 2 draft coverage on Sports Radio 104.3 The Score. Here's Anthony Herron.
It's just getting going out in Pittsburgh. Night 2 of the NFL draft. Night 2 here on Chicago Sports Radio. 104.3 The Score. I almost did it. Would have been the first time I said 670, but I caught myself. Anthony Herron here. Got Tyler Farrengold, David Dykstra. I still see Alex Kuhn in there on the other side of the glass as well. We're here with you until Cubs pregame on The Score. And looking forward to the next few hours. The Chicago Bears are on the clock in about 2 hours or so. We'll see how the night progresses here. I will say this, night one, from a pace perspective, that first round moved. So you have no idea, I have no idea how quickly the Bears will end up on the clock, but we will keep you updated throughout the evening on the picks that are being made, not only by the other teams, but on any movement that takes place from your Chicago Bears. I was here last night with Rami Makhlouf, Judson Richards, and a cast of, I don't know, ones or fives or tens or something. A small but mighty crew was here yesterday evening, and we pulled off the coverage from 7 to 11 of the first round of the NFL draft. But it was fun, and the fact that things actually played out in a way that I think a number of us expected, I would say at least hoped for. Expected might be too strong of a term, but certainly hoped that Dylan Thienemann would be available when the Bears were on the clock. And not only was Thienemann available, but several other prospects who I think would have made perfect sense for the Bears to have given strong consideration to and perhaps even eventually drafted. And that was how it played out. The Bears turned in the card and Dylan Thienemann became the newest member of your Chicago Bears. So that's great news for them because they got a guy that they had their eyeballs on throughout this process that they were really eager to see if he would be available to them. I try not to use the word fall to the Bears unless to me it really suits that. Like Dylan Thienemann at 25 in the first round, that wasn't shocking to me. Now, the variety of players, like not only was Dylan Thienemann there, and Emmanuel McNeil Warren was there, and Cade McDonald was there, several other guys as well. So I was surprised at the amount of players the Bears had their potential to target that were still on the board. But I feel like Dylan Thienemann being there at 25 and the Bears having the ability to draft him without having to move up the board at all to do it, that's certainly good value. He's a player more than worthy of the pick, but I don't view it as some sort of precipitous fall. If you told me that Caleb Downs was still there at 25, that's okay. Like, you know, fall is still a term that I'm a little bit sketchy to use, but at the same time, I expected him to come off the board in the top 10. Him lasting to 11, so okay, that's a pick longer than I really thought would end up being the case. But Dylan Thienemann being there at 25, because he's a safety especially, I don't view that as some sort of precipitous drop from the player who the Bears were in position to select. And works out really well for them. You have that combination that most teams hope for because general managers end up saying that they want to go with the best player available. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to actually pull that off. And I think that the Bears were able to get the best player that they viewed available, but also he was at a position of need. Now, you know, need is a strong term, and I would love to put the question out to you out there as well because we had some callers last night at 312-644-6767. And for your thoughts on whether or not safety, because some of the folks who called us last night after the Bears made the pick, there was some disappointment that they went safety as opposed to D-line. There were some callers we had that were pretty hopeful the Bears would address the defensive front, but they do have more picks remaining. They will have two picks coming up in the second round here, pick number 57 overall, pick number 60 overall, so the 25th pick in the second round, the 28th pick in the second round, and then in the third round, they're back on the clock again as it sits right now with the 25th pick in the third round. So at the moment, the Bears have three picks available on night two, which is the second and third round of the draft. So there's still more than enough opportunity, ample chance that the Bears have to address these other positions. Chief amongst them, I would say, and I'm confident many of you agree, D-line is one of those spots. The names that are still on the board that I thought, you know what, if this guy's there, it could be worthy of consideration from the Bears. The one that surprises me most is Caden McDonald, because I viewed him as a guy who's the best defensive tackle, the best true interior defensive lineman in this draft cycle. And it does surprise me that as we begin night two, that he's still there on the board for the Bears. I thought he'd be gone. We'll see. I thought he'd be gone in the first round. I know a lot of folks said that there was a chance he would last until round two, even in talking about all these different Ohio State defenders that were more definitively coming off the board in the first round. Different shows I was doing in recent weeks, there was kind of that conversation of, is he, will he? I tend to just kind of assume logic, but then for me, in my head, logic is viewing things the way I view them. And just logically, when you evaluate Caden McDonald, I think he's more than just a run stuffer, but lasting until round two indicates to me, at least, that that is the perception, sort of the broader perception around the National Football League, that he is mainly a run stuffer and that, you know, maybe teams aren't projecting his playmaking ability much beyond that. And I do think there's a lot more juice to his game than just being kind of your quintessential run stuffer type of defensive tackle. His movement ability, the suddenness and explosiveness that he can trade gaps with, he's a guy that I certainly don't believe he's going to be still on the board and available when the Bears are back on the clock at 57 if they stay there. But if they were, then Ryan Pohl should certainly be sprinting to get that pick in as quickly as possible before somebody does him, like the Eagles did the Pittsburgh Steelers last night for Mekhi Lemon. That was one of the more surprising, certainly not the most, but one of the more surprising developments last night in the draft, where USC wide receiver, who some folks said they viewed as the top receiver on the board in this draft cycle, Mekhi Lemon, he's on the phone with the Pittsburgh Steelers, the family celebrating about the idea. The Steelers are telling him, we are about to pick you. Let's all celebrate. You're going to be the newest member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then here come the Philadelphia Eagles trading up to get a guy to add to their receiver core. It only bolsters the notion that A.J. Brown is not long for Philadelphia. But Mekhi Lemon, really exceptional prospect, even though he's not 6 foot tall as a wideout. But that's one of those things you hope to avoid as a team. As you're reading the draft board, you're reading the tea leaves, you're seeing which player ends up falling where, you don't want to be in that position. Even if it does take trading up just that one spot, that's how a lot of teams end up working it out, just to be in a position to make sure they get the guy that they've targeted. And if a player like Caden McDonald, which again, I don't believe he'll be available in the range of the 50s, the latter stages of round number two. But if he does start to be available as the draft moves in that direction, if he's still on the board for some reason, I'm not keen on the idea of the Bears trading up, giving up some draft capital where you're still looking to bolster this roster with more depth. But Caden McDonald is the level of player, the caliber of prospect that I think it would be worth Ryan Poles trading up for. And you know, we'll certainly see whether or not that's something that ends up materializing throughout the night tonight. I don't believe that that's going to be, I'll call it, much of a concern. I don't think it's going to be much of a consideration that the Bears, that Ryan Poles will end up needing to give. But if it happens, you always got to be ready. You got to stay ready in these situations with the NFL draft. If it does materialize that way, where for some reason Caden McDonald's still on the board, that to me is a guy that, yes, you try to make that move and make sure you get up to go and nab him, because he's one of the other players where they've got talent, they've got guys who you can view as starters at these positions, but is there an upgrade available? I would say the interior of your defensive line for a guy like Caden McDonald. You get a player like that, then yeah, I'm good thinking that he's the type of guy who could come in and become a starter for the Bears. If not from game one, I certainly see him as the guy who could come in and and fight for that starting job at some point early in the season. There has been a pick made in round number two. San Francisco 49ers have made their selection. Dejon Stribling, wide receiver from Ole Miss, the first pick of the second night of the NFL draft. And he's a player whose measurables are kind of more of the standard of what you look for in a wideout. Well over 6 foot tall, over 200 pounds, and it's got really strong hands when you evaluate him as a prospect, and was certainly a guy who some folks had mocked into the first round of the draft. Not shocked that it ended up lasting into round number two, but you know, this is one of those things, kind of like we were talking about with a lot of these different players, whether you're talking DB, D-line, wide receiver in that mix as well, just for what fits in your scheme, what are you looking for in a prospect, what type of personality, what type of physical traits really suit you. You know, I think on the offensive line, that conversation certainly played out more often in the first round than I anticipated. Where a prospect like Caden Proctor, I'm not shocked Caden Proctor went in the first round last night. To go number 12 to the Dolphins, that did surprise me. I didn't expect Caden Proctor to come off the board that high. If you'd have told me he was a first-round pick, if I had to guess at where he'd go, I thought the overall stature, the physical traits, the athleticism for his size, I certainly thought Caden Proctor would be a first-round pick. Didn't think he'd go as high as 12. So that did catch me off guard how quickly it happened. But then we had to sort of shift our focus really quickly because Caden Proctor got picked. And then next thing you know, here's Ty Simpson coming off the board to the Rams. So that was one of the other surprising developments from round one, night one in the NFL draft. Right after Caden Proctor goes, then his Alabama teammate, the quarterback he protected throughout last season, Ty Simpson, came off the board at number 13 to the Rams. Now, the folks I've talked to so far out in L.A., just, you know, not that it really impacts the Bears in any way, but just out of curiosity for, you know, why a move like that would get made. There was certainly some surprise within the Rams organization from folks I've been texting with out there. The relationship between Les Snead, the Simpson family, the folks I've been communicating with don't necessarily feel like that was a factor. But at the same time, the fact that they would go QB in the first round, as opposed to continuing to bolster another position that could actually help lead them towards a Super Bowl berth, potentially even a Super Bowl championship, while you've still got this version of Matthew Stafford, is really surprising to folks in LA, to folks with the Rams, frankly, to folks all around the National Football League, that they would go that direction as opposed to getting someone who could be more immediately impactful for them. I mean, that's the goal that all these teams have, is how do we go about getting somebody who can help us? And when you're in that championship window, how do you get guys who can quickly step onto the field and be a contributor for you? Now, we're not necessarily accustomed to that in evaluating the Bears, like here in Chicago, and seeing like, hey, they're in a Super Bowl window right now. So how do they go for it? And how aggressive should they be? Should they be moving up? Should they be moving down? All these other things. But I would say that for the Bears, being on the front end of this window, still having Caleb Williams on his rookie contract as a quarterback, that's one of the things that's certainly different than the position the Rams find themselves in right now. Because not only do you have Caleb as the starter, you of course have Tyson Bagent as the backup. Bears are up against the salary cap right now. Ryan Poles has been doing his thing to try to move some money around, free up a little bit of extra cap space just to make sure you fill out the roster, get through the offseason here. But Bears are on the front end of that. They're hoping to be on the front end of that. Hopefully last season wasn't the full championship window here in Chicago for the time being. But when you have a quarterback who's in his late 30s with a head coach who's still a super young coach in football terms, but has kind of toyed with the idea of stepping away from the game, going to do something else, kind of, you know, pulling the Theo Epstein thing. Like, I'm super bright. I can kind of do whatever I want. So Sean McVay, he's kind of toyed around with the idea of not coaching anymore and, you know, maybe pulling a John Madden, riding off into the sunset, getting into TV, getting into ownership, getting into the business world, getting into politics. There's been a lot of Sean McVay rumors in recent years about what else a man of his intellect and early life accomplishments might be able to do instead. So in comparison to where the franchises are at, the Bears right now have a quarterback who's just finished his second season in the NFL, has just paired with this head coach with this bright future that we're all hopeful will continue to ascend. Whereas the Rams, that level of, I'll go ahead and use the term desperation for where it seems like Les Snead and the Rams should be at, how they should be operating, how I'm surprised they don't seemingly be viewing this season with the desperation to pursue the championship as it sits at this moment. Because you don't know if you got one more year of Matt Stafford, three more years of Matt Stafford. Now, there was conversation when that trade first got made of bringing him from Detroit to L.A., and he was already on the other side of 30 and fairly banged up by then for how much time he really even had left then. A Super Bowl later, an MVP later. Here he is, what, 37, 38 years old, and still playing at an extremely high level. But you got a back injury, that can be a really tenuous thing. I speak from experience in that regard. Having back problems when you're trying to play football, regardless of what position it is. Frankly, having a back problem trying to do anything. If you haven't had back problems out there, you'd be shocked. Just signing a check can make your back feel all wonky if your back is all jacked up. So you never know, playing quarterback in the National Football League, when something may happen, when a sneeze may put you on the injured list for a while when you're suffering from consistent back issues. So the Rams are hoping, they certainly should be hoping, that they can extend this championship window as much as they can. So, I mean, you know, the Ty Simpson thing has caught some folks off guard, but the idea of the relationship end of that, from what I'm being told, that's not exactly what the deal was there with Les Snead and the Simpson family, but just more so his evaluation of that QB, of that prospect, and trying to get him in there so that you can have that Green Bay type of scenario where you have someone who's being groomed behind the veteran and perhaps securing your future. And he thinks really highly, apparently, of Ty Simpson. More highly than a lot of other folks do, because you could have gotten him later. Certainly could have gotten him later in the first round if you wanted to make sure you got him at all. The 312-644-6767 is the phone line. For right now, we'll take a time out and come back, and we'll get deeper into some Dylan Thienemann conversation and especially some of the other prospects that came off the board last night specific to the Big Ten. We'll do that with my guy, one of the legends of college football in this area and has covered Dylan Thienemann in this conference from stem to stern. We'll talk to Howard Griffith of the Big Ten Network next on Chicago Sports Radio, 104.3 The Score.
It starts with that little kid, the four-year-old me, looking up at that TV, being like, hey, it's going to be me out there. But then it goes to see my family, my brothers do it, see my parents, how they work in their businesses. And really watching my brothers out there on the field, wanting to be out there with them. I'm someone, I think, like, if I really love something, I'm going to put all my energy, all my work into it.
It's the newest member of the Chicago Bears, Dylan Thienemann. They flew him in a hot air balloon from Pittsburgh to Chicago, or maybe a Zeppelin or something, I'm not sure. But they got him here. I hope the accommodations were great for the first round pick. Number 25 overall. I'm Anthony Herron. This is Chicago Sports Radio, 104.3 The Score. A player who spent all three of his college football seasons in the Big Ten, but two at Purdue, one in Eugene with the Oregon Ducks, playing the safety position. Did it at a high enough level to secure himself a first-round bag and now a member of the Chicago Bears. So let's go out to the Score hotline, talk to my guy Howard Griffith. He covered the entire collegiate career of Dylan Thienemann and really eager to get his thoughts on what Thienemann will bring to the NFL. Howard, what's up, man? You're on the Score. How you doing tonight?
I'm good, my guy. How are you?
I'm fantastic, man. I appreciate you taking some time with me here for the Bears. They had kind of the main position of need going into this, and it's all subjective. Like, yeah, they could use a left tackle. They could use some help on the D-line. But the main spot they didn't have a starter yet was really the other safety. So when you see the Bears pick Thienemann at 25, do you feel like that was them going for that position of need or getting truly the best player available at that point?
I think there's a combination, right? I think, you know, you think about I didn't think, you know, we talked earlier in the week, the fact that he was there at 25. I thought he wouldn't slip past Minnesota because I thought, you know, they were in need of a safety as well, and they went a different direction. So I think things worked out perfectly for the Bears, and they didn't have to move, and they got their guy. Because I think you look at, you know, after Caleb Downs, he is, although it's tight, he's the second best safety in this draft. And I think once he put up the combine numbers and people go back and look at his film and see he actually played at that speed, you know, I think it was pretty much a no-brainer. And the Bears really think they've got them a guy that is going to be a starter for a long time for them.
Howard Griffith, football analyst with the Big Ten Network, Super Bowl champion, and all-around great dude. And you know he's an Illini legend as well, our guest here on The Score. You can follow Howard on social media at Howard Griffith. And for Thieneman himself, whether it was those 2 years at Purdue, the final year at Oregon, are there ways that you saw him continue to improve throughout his Big Ten career?
Yeah, I think so. You start off with, you know, him being at Purdue and with Ryan Walters, and really did a great job of being that center field safety, instincts going up high and getting the ball, being a freshman All-American. I thought those were huge for him. I thought he continued to get better. Then he goes to Oregon, where, you know, they have more guys, right? And they're asking him to do certain things. So he was used more, I see, as a chess piece when he was in Oregon, as he was differently at Purdue, where they needed him to make plays. At Oregon, he just needed to make the plays that came to him, and he did exactly that. So you talk about the maturity and being able to understand what your assignment is and not wanting to do too much. I think he really did a great job of, you know, continuing to get better as a player. And I think you're going to continue to see him, you know, improve. They all have areas that they can work on. And for him, I think it's going to be finishing tackles at the next level. That's always going to be a big part of it. But that's something that I've noted he's going to continue to work hard at. He's going to get to the point. His speed, his lateral quickness shows you that, and he's able to diagnose things as well. So it's just about being able to finish, and I think he'll get accustomed to finish against NFL backs here relatively quickly.
And when you think about some of these guys being 3 years removed from high school football, like Dylan Thieneman, and the transition he made going from Purdue to Oregon, both are, of course, major college football programs in the biggest and best conference of college football in the history of Western civilization, in the Big Ten. But that being said, it is still a leap. The stage is bigger with Oregon than it was at Purdue. Do you think that's a factor in him being able to step in as still a really young athlete, step into the National Football League a few years removed from high school and be able to handle that stage?
Well, I think he'll have his growing pains like all of them do. We all have issues when you first get there, things that you have to get accustomed to. You know, they talk about getting accustomed to the speed. Well, the good thing is in his arsenal is that he has that. So he'll get used to that. You talk about different angles, talking about how to cover receivers, and if he lines up against slot guys at times, the tendencies, he's going to have to learn those types of things. But I think he'll continue to grow. I mean, he's by no stretch of the imagination a finished product right now, but he has so much upside in the athleticism and the instincts and the fact that he's a hard worker. You know, you talk about making that jump. You know, obviously, a huge jump going for Purdue and the way they were playing to going to Oregon and being in the midst of, you know, chasing a championship while you're there and being around that type of atmosphere. I think he learned a lot from being in that locker room, and I think those are things that are going to help him as he, you know, gets himself into the locker room with the Chicago Bears. Yeah, it's different, but I think once he realizes that his skills match up with a lot of the guys in the NFL right now, it's just really about film study and understanding tendencies. He's going to be able to adapt to it, I think, really quickly.
Howard Griffith of the Big Ten Network, my guest here on The Score. When you think about some of the coaches who have worked with Dylan Thieneman in college, you know, early on at Purdue, they weren't winning a lot of games at Purdue, but Ryan Walters, we know all the defensive backs he's put in to the National Football League. And then this last season in the Tosh Lupoy defense, and of course, Dan Lanning is the head coach overseeing that at Oregon. From your experience, how much does that end up helping a player's transition to the professional level? If you have coaches who run NFL principles and who have a track record for having players step up to the next level and be effective.
I think it's huge. I think one of the things, if we talk about Caleb Downs for just a moment here, that's a person you can look to as well, right? He played for three different defense coordinators in his 3 years in college. But each one of them said, hey, this dude is elite. He studies the film. He understands what's going on. He's able to read and react. When you're playing, to me, when you're playing in multiple systems, you have to stay on top of your toes and you have to stay in the game plan and be, you know, dialed into it each and every week because things change. And so his ability to handle that and still be a leader at Oregon, that was one of the first things that Coach Lanning was talking about back in the summer at Media Day, that he's already become a leader on this team, and that's huge for him. And you have to walk into a different system. But again, you're being coached by, you know, elite coaches, elite coordinators. That's going to help you when you get to make that move to the next level. Again, it's about a lot of it's about IQ and playing a lot of football and seeing a lot of different formations. He's played against a lot of different offenses, being at Purdue and also in Oregon, that he's seen a lot. Now, he hasn't seen it in the NFL level, but he doesn't have a 20-hour rule anymore. He could study and get after it as much as he wants to right now and get him prepared because, you know, he's going to be expected, if he can stay healthy or stays healthy, he's expected to be a day one starter.
Howard Griffith, my guest here on The Score. And, of course, here in Chicago with the Bears, we saw sort of the modern version of quarterbacks stepping right in as Caleb Williams from day one. They didn't even worry about bringing a veteran in as they had done with the last couple of first-round picks where Mitchell Trubisky had Mike Glennon, mm-hmm. and we saw Justin Fields having Andy Dalton here. But with Caleb, they took the approach and just said, you know what, he's a rookie and he is going to be our dude. We saw last night Fernando Mendoza, as anticipated, was the number one overall pick. First time the Hoosiers have had the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. But the Raiders have now placed him in the franchise in a position where they went and grabbed Kirk Cousins, gave him a good amount of guaranteed money for the first season of his multi-year deal. What do you think is the version of that that makes more sense? It feels like it's becoming really popular to just have the first round QB step right into things, but Mendoza may not have to do that with the Raiders.
I've never been a fan of, you know, that first year quarterback coming out of college and being the guy because I get it. You know, you don't learn anything unless you're out there playing, but the problem when you're out there playing as a young player, you create a lot of bad habits for yourself. And because you're trying to get out of, you're starting to run, your clock speeds up because of protection. There's a reason that you're the number one pick because there's some other things that are going on throughout the organization that aren't quite right. So that's why they're in that situation. Now, Caleb has done an outstanding job of making that transition. He's had his growing pains, and I think he'll continue to. He's not a finished product either, but when you see the sheer ability to go out and make plays and play inside of a system, and I think that's part of the challenge. You know that some of this is when he's trying to make a move, he's gonna do it, and he's gonna get outside the system sometimes. But if you can marry that offensive style with gives him the freedom to get out and kind of freelance when he needs to because he's just that good, you have to be accepting of it. But you have to try to, you know, to me, tailor the offense to what it is that he does well all the time. And you got to give him some latitude to be able to make some plays and make some moves.
As you watched the first round of the draft last night, was there anything that stood out to you as maybe surprising or kind of big takeaways from that first evening?
Well, I think you look at Ty Simpson and with the Rams, right? I think that probably, you know, set the board a lot differently than when things started to fall. you know, things changed a little bit. But again, I think it's one of those things that, you know, when you need a quarterback, when you don't need one, you go get one if you believe that they're going to be a franchise, can be a franchise guy for you. And in the next situation, he's going to have an opportunity to sit back and learn and understand what it's like to be a pro quarterback and grow. But I really like what the Jets have done, too. You know, I'm a huge Kenyon Sadiq fan. I think he is going to be, you know, a dynamite player in the National Football League with all the things that he can do. But, I thought the Jets did a lot of good things as well.
Some of the guys, and I know you were on the Big Ten Network last night after the first round ended. Caden McDonald from Ohio State, the defensive tackle, he has come off the board at this point. I kind of had my fingers crossed just in case. I didn't think he would last till 57, till the Bears were back on the clock, but I'm really bullish on him. Denzel Boston out of Washington has just come off the board to the Cleveland Browns. The Big Ten guys who were still remaining, guys like D'Angelo Pines and Gabe Akis, Derek Moore out of Michigan. Is there a Big Ten guy who was still on the board after last night that you kind of look forward to seeing how things shake out for him?
Really, Pines is the guy for me. And if he was 6 foot, he'd probably be a top 10 guy. When you look at his skill set and what he's able to do, I really, really like watching him play and watching him compete. He's just one of those situations where, teams are concerned about that size. But I'm telling you, whoever gets him is going to get a heck of a football player that I think is going to help them being able to play the nickel, being able to go outside at times and match up. But he is he's a willing tackler. He's going to compete. We watched him compete. Big Ten, as you know, had some outstanding wide receivers this year, and you watched him compete. And he didn't win them all, but the fact that he can compete against guys that may be 6'2", 6'4", he showed that he could do that. He plays so much bigger than his stature, and that's one of the things that I really enjoy watching and looking forward to just where he ends up, and I think he's going to be able to help a team right away.
Yeah, I'm with you on D'Angelo Pines. I mean, an inch or two shorter than you would love. He makes up for it being feisty, man. Feisty and instinctive.
Love it.
You need that as a corner. Need a lot of Howard Griffith in your life out there, folks. Always fantastic stuff when we have him on the air. Follow him on social media at Howard Griffith. Appreciate you, my guy.
All right, take care and enjoy.
That is Howard Griffith of the Big Ten Network. He is on socials at Howard Griffith. Well, the second round is off and running, and so we will update you on what's been happening so far in round number two. Would love to get your thoughts as well on what the Bears did last night and what you were eager to watch them do so far tonight. We'll recap round two. Get the phone lines going at 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. I'm Anthony Herron, taking you up to Cubs pregame right here during the second round of the NFL Draft on Chicago Sports Radio 104.3 The Score.
We're back with more Night 2 draft coverage on Sports Radio 104.3 The Score. Here's Anthony Herron.
Night 2 of the NFL Draft off and running, and I think at a pretty decent pace right now. We're taking you up to Cubs pregame here on The Score. And as it sits at the moment, we're not halfway through round number 2 yet, but we're a third of the way through it. And so at this pace, at this clip, we're not even at 7 o'clock yet. We're here with you until about 8:40 on The Score when Cubs pregame begins. So that's part of where we were trying to do the math pre-show, just trying to determine, how deep into the show would we get to picks number 57, picks number 60, or, if you want to view it just in simpler math in the second round here, once the Bears are on the clock, that'll be pick number 25 in the second round and pick number 28. In the second round. So as we get to that point, then how many of the Bears picks will we be live on the air for? We start getting into that 7 o'clock hour. Even if they don't move, if they don't move up, if they don't start getting aggressive, it's going to be a chance here that we get multiple Bears picks in, perhaps even several. Who knows? Let's get crazy before we get off the air on The Score. I'm Anthony Herron, got Tyler Farrigal, David Dykstra on the other side of the glass with me here. So far in the second round, we have seen the San Francisco 49ers. They picked wide receiver out of Ole Miss, Dejon Stribling, to start off round number two. Then the Arizona Cardinals were on the clock. They got Chase Bisantis out of Texas A&M, an offensive guard. So Cardinals went interior offensive line. A lot of folks were a little surprised at what the Cardinals did in round number one, but if you're going to try to bolster that run game, not only do you need a running back, you need an offensive lineman as well. Here's where a player that I was really hopeful about, I mentioned some names as we got into the 25th pick in the first round that wouldn't bother me one bit. Like if Dylan Thienemann was already gone, if Emmanuel McNeil Warren was off the board, which he is still not at this point, You're talking about those two safeties. If neither one of them were available, T.J. Parker out of Clemson. That's a defensive end that for the Bears, for the stature that Dennis Allen looks for in his edge defenders, in his defensive linemen, having some length, having some beef, being able to hit blocks in the run, but also provide some pass rush juice. That's where T.J. Parker out of Clemson I found to be one of the exciting prospects. So there's a lot of guys who are kind of cut from a similar cloth in their evaluation where they've got the stature that would likely fit D.A.'s defense, but then beyond that, the playmaking is perhaps a bit inconsistent. But I was you know, kind of had the fingers crossed to see how things might fall with T.J. Parker if he continued to stay available, but he did not. The Buffalo Bills ended up snatching him up with the 35th pick overall, the third pick in the second round. Other guy you've heard me talking about for weeks here, Cade McDonald. I viewed him as the guy who was the best player still available as round two opened up. Defensive tackle out of Ohio State. That talented defensive front from the Houston Texans just got even better with Cade McDonald. And I think that folks are going to be caught off guard with as great as the Texans are in rushing the edge, he's going to provide plenty of pass rush for them up the middle as well. Now, plenty, you know, maybe plenty is a bit of an overstatement, but he's going to provide some enhanced pass rush for them more so than I think people are anticipating just in his pre-draft evaluation. Moving on to the fifth pick of the second round here, Colton Hood, corner from Tennessee. And I know like Brad Biggs has been on the station talking about corner for at least weeks, maybe even months at this point, just where it has become a forgotten part of the conversation because so many of us have kind of focused on where do the Bears need a starter or where were the Bears just bad? And there's multiple positions that you could say like, all right, they certainly needed some starters in the secondary. They went into free agency, got a starter. Now they've gone in the draft to get a starter. Offensive line, it felt like there's this big hole at left tackle. So that's been a lot of the focus here. But you think about corner and you need depth, you need talent, you want as many bodies as possible to get you through a season, a bunch of soft tissue injuries and other things happen in the secondary. So you have had some corners coming off the board here now. So certainly don't rule that out by the time the Bears are on the clock. Colton Hood out of Tennessee, corner to the New York Giants. Trayton Stukes out of Arizona, another safety, came off the board there. Denzel Boston, the wide receiver, went to the Cleveland Browns, referenced him with Howard Griffith being on with me a moment ago. And R. Mason Thomas, came off the board to the Kansas City Chiefs with the eighth pick in the second round. Cassius Howell, edge defender out of Texas A&M to the Cincinnati Bengals. Christian Miller, defensive tackle to the New Orleans Saints. D-tackle out of Georgia, went with the 10th pick in the second round. Jacob Rodriguez, really talented and productive linebacker out of Texas Tech to the Miami Dolphins. And another guy that I'm intrigued as a prospect, didn't necessarily think he had the stature or the run blocking or block hitting ability that might really suit the Dennis Allen defense, but Derek Moore going to the Detroit Lions. So you have a Michigan Wolverine playing with the Detroit Lions. Does that sound familiar? Aiden Hutchinson did the same thing a few years ago, and he's been a terror in this division. Derek Moore, not nearly as refined or productive as a prospect coming out of college, but a lot of measurables, and this past season was very productive for Michigan on another high-level defense that the Wolverines were able to put out there. But for him, I think that's good value for Derek Moore. Really, a good slot for Derek Moore is probably the inverse of what I mean there. It's maybe even a little bit higher than I think his overall resume and body of work end up indicating. But on that defense, to add a player with his physical talents and see if they can continue to enhance what he does from a production perspective, that's where Derek Moore to the Lions ends up being a quality pick. So we're 12 picks in. We're over a third of the way through the second round. And I think for the Bears and how this may time up, you stay tuned here and you keep it locked because even if they don't move, we're not going to be nearly as deep into the night as I think before the draft began. A lot of folks were anticipating how the second night, the second and third round would time up. It does seem that we will hear multiple Bears picks live by the time we're off the air here with the pace that this first round is moving at. So just to check in out at Halas Hall, we're going to do that at the top of this second hour of our coverage here for night two of the NFL draft on The Score. As we've been telling you throughout the week, Herb Howard, friend of the show, friend of the station, he's been all over the Bears NFL draft coverage from Halas Hall. So we'll take a timeout. We get back at the top of the next hour. While we've still got a moment to breathe before the Bears are on the clock, and who knows, maybe Herb, we anticipate he'll have the latest on anything he's hearing about movement that the Bears may have. If there's a prospect who's dropping that is still available, maybe we do see some of that aggression that Ryan Poles was talking about last night. He was telling the media last night that he felt really good about the way the board fell, but that they've gotten really particular about the prospects that they value because of the guidance that they've gotten from the coaching staff about what they look for that suits them. So, are any of those guys coming off the board? Is the focus beginning to narrow in a way where Ryan Poles is going to look to hop up and get someone before they get nabbed by a different team? We will discuss all those things with Herb Howard, who will be live from Halas Hall. We'll do that next. I'm Anthony Herron. This is Chicago Sports Radio, 104.3 The Score.